We begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sometimes I wish that there were such a thing as a magic wand, you know, like Harry Potter had, and you could wave it and make a messy room tidy, or, you know, a messy garage, all transform it into something neat and functional. And maybe you felt that way too, if you could just, you know, swipe a wand across a project you were having trouble with or a paper you couldn't do, and it would be done, and it would be transformed. Well, sometimes in the real world, things are transformed easily. We are just watching winter being transformed into spring without having to do anything for it. Or maybe you enjoy watching houses, old houses, transformed on the Home and Garden channel, and that's kind of fun. But a lot of times, what we really want to have transformed is difficult, and maybe it even seems impossible. Maybe there's an issue in a relationship that's keeping two people apart. They just keep bumping into that issue, and they don't seem to be able to resolve it. Or maybe it's a bad habit or a dependency and that you have or a loved one has. And it's just so hard to shake it, to work through it, to get rid of it. Or maybe it's a medical challenge or a financial challenge, and you really don't have an answer for it at this time. That's when we want a transformation, because we're stuck. And I think that's exactly why this story, this gospel story, has been preserved for us all these years, because it is a story of transformation. Jesus, of course, is the magic wand, but it's not magic like that. He transforms in a process. It's step by step. It's very careful. It's really a lot like a dance where he makes a move and then the other person makes a move. So the first step in this dance that Jesus makes is to determine that he will go through Samaria instead of going around it on his way from Judea back to Galilee. Jews would go around Samaria because they hated the Samaritans. Jesus, of course, didn't, so he went through it. The second step in the dance of transformation that he was about to bring into being was that he met a woman at a well. She was a Samaritan. Now, it was really kind of strange to see her there. It was in the heat of the day. Most people didn't go to draw water when it would be that hot, and she was all alone. Usually, women would go in groups. But in spite of the rather strange circumstances, Jesus took a very bold third step. He talked to her. He spoke to this woman. Now, that already broke two taboos. Men were not to speak to women in public, you know, women they weren't related to. And Jews didn't talk to Samaritans. But then he goes a little farther. And he makes, it sounds like a demand, but she understood it as an invitation, so we'll call it an invitation. He asked her to give him a drink of water. And in doing so, of course, he would have to drink out of her bucket, which would be unclean, so he was really breaking down the taboos that time. He was being very risky in what he was doing. But he was also making himself very vulnerable to her. Because the next move, the next step in the dance was up to her, and she could ignore his request. She could run away. She could even say something curt to him. There was no one around. He was leaving himself open, allowing her to minister to him however she wanted. And that willingness on the part of Jesus to be vulnerable, I am sure, is what gave this woman courage to say what she said. She revealed that she was uncomfortable. She said, "Why are you asking me, a Samaritan, for a drink?" And then Jesus said, "You know, if you knew who was talking to you and you knew what I could give you, you would ask for living water." And again, she is emboldened by his willingness to engage with her, to break those taboos, to open himself out up to, you know, to criticism and to whatever she would say. And so she was bold enough to say, "Where are you getting this water? And do you feel you're greater than Jacob who gave us this well?" And then the next step in the dance was a big one from Jesus. He said, "Let me tell you about this living water. It is like water that gushes out of a fountain. There's so much of it." He says, it's eternal. You can depend on it for the future. And it gives life. And then, so confident because of his interacting with her and inviting her, she says, "Give me this water. Then I won't have to keep coming here every day." And then Jesus' next step in the dance was completely changed her. It was as if he picked up his dance partner and twirled her around and set her gently down, because what he said was, "Go ask your husband to come here." And she said, "I don't have a husband." And he said, "I know. I know. I know you don't have one now. I know you had five before. And the man you're with now is not your husband. I know that." And that's all he said. He didn't criticize her. He didn't condemn her. He didn't pass judgment on her. That's all he said. "I know the hurt you have been through." You see, she would have been used to criticism because of this past. She would have been used to criticism. She probably was afraid to be with other women, to go and draw water at the well and be with them and hear their comments or their whispers. She was used to that. And it was so sad because it was probably not her fault at all. In Jesus' day, the primary reason a man would divorce his wife was because she was unable to have children. And of course, they would blame the wife for that. In that society, it would be the wife's fault. The man could divorce her very easily, and the woman had to be in the house of some man because she needed a roof over her head, she needed food, she couldn't provide for herself. So she was probably given no choice but to go from man to man to man. She was a woman who was not cared for. She had no confidence that she would be cared for in the future. She didn't have power to change her situation. She just had to live day to day and do the best she could until she met Jesus. Now, here was someone who saw what she was and had been and had endured, who understood the pain she had been through and valued her and came up and engaged her in conversation and treated her like an equal, someone who valued her. So that was huge. That was huge for her. And because of that, she had the confidence, I think, to try to break down the wall between them because of their religion, to bring up this one issue that was really a barrier between Jews and Samaritans. She said, "You worship at Jerusalem and we worship at a whole different place. What is right?" And then he just brushed it all aside, and he said, "Those traditions that divide us, they're not that important." But this is what he wanted her to know: "I am the Messiah." And when she heard that, it changed everything. The dance changed completely. She danced away, out, back into the village. She forgot her bucket at the well, like she had left all her frustrations and her fears and her desperation, and went happily into the town to tell them that she thought she had seen the Messiah. She was so excited, and I think Jesus was too, to have seen what had just happened. I think that explains why when the disciples came back and they said, "Eat something," and all he could talk about was the harvest and bringing in the harvest. He was excited by what had just happened. The gospel had transformed a woman's life, and soon it would transform her whole community. It had transformed her life. She was no longer in a woman who had been despairing, now had hope. A woman who was afraid for the future, now was more confident. A woman who had been afraid of the criticism of others was now confident enough to walk into the village and say, "I've got news. I think I've met the Messiah." And sure enough, they took that word of this woman they may not have listened to ever before, and they invited Jesus to stay with them for 2 days, and at the end of that time, they confessed, "You, Jesus, are the Savior of the world." Quite a transformation. This morning, I think this story is meant to be an invitation. Jesus invites us to trust in the living water, the water of baptism. Jesus invites us to trust in his love, which we see as he made himself vulnerable, first as a baby on a bed of straw in a manger, and then as a man stretched out on a cross. Jesus invites us to trust the power of God, who transformed Jesus' lifeless body on Easter morning into a living being. And Jesus invites us to trust that no matter the challenges that we face, he walks with us and that he will transform us, as he did the woman, into people who trust and take joy in and share the love of God. Amen.